Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hi there, it's Selina here today. And on this episode, I am joined by Marianne Cantwell. Now, you might have heard of Marianne. She is best-selling author of Be a Free Range Human, which is the book that I recommend to everyone if they're ever considering leaving their job and trying something on their own terms, being their own boss, starting their own business. She's the person that I always have turned to for guidance and not just in business, being smart around business, but making sure that I create a career in a business that has me and what's important to me at the heart of it. So really staying true to myself and following my heart when it comes to business. And we've been working together for the past 9 years. We are both passionate about helping people create careers that they love, careers and businesses that make them come alive. And we are actually in this podcast going to be mentioning our Ideas Adventure course, which we run roughly every 2 years, and we're going to be running it this spring in 2018. It starts on April the 9th. So we will be telling you a little bit about that at the end, and we'll mention it a few times in the podcast. If you are interested as you're kind of going through it and you want to sign up to find out more, then head over to loveprojectlove.com/ideas adventure. But regardless of whether you sign up and want to find out more, we've used this podcast as an opportunity to really speak to those of you who are feeling stuck and frustrated in your job and wondering if there's any job that will ever suit you. Marianne and I once felt exactly the same, and we felt determined to find another way of earning a living, doing something that we loved. And we didn't, neither of us knew what that was going to look like when we started out. But I think both of us had a sort of rallying cry inside of us saying there has to be another way, and let's find that other way, and then let's show other people how they can find that way too. So enjoy this podcast as we talk a bit about our own journeys and talk about the topic that we are so truly passionate about, which is ultimately about following your heart in life, finding work that you love to do, and finding ways to make a good living out of doing that. So I hope you enjoy this. In a moment, we're going to be talking about You Today, best-selling book, TED Talk that has almost 200,000 views last time I looked at it. Before we get into that, let's go back to where you were before this all began, when you were feeling stuck and miserable in the job you were in. And not just you, actually. Let's talk about where I was at the same time, because our journey started pretty much around the same time, about 9, 10 years ago.
Yeah, because we've been collaborating for the bulk of that time, haven't we? We've been working with people on stuff. But it's funny because I know we first met right at the start, you know. I think I'd been doing what I do for like a year or less when I met you. Yeah. And it was such a different life. You know what I mean? Like thinking back, if anyone listening in, you're thinking back 10 years. It's amazing how much can change in that time, right?
I know. And I think remembering back to when we met, I think we were both so excited about this new world we'd stepped into and this new world of possibilities. Like, we felt quite like pioneers in a way, because there weren't actually, today you've got so many, and we're going to talk about this, you've got so many people out there saying, quit your job, live from a beach with your laptop and make a six-figure salary overnight by following all steps to fame. And it's like, oh my God, like, no, that isn't how it is. But for us, it was like, there wasn't all that stuff out there saying, become an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur 10 years ago in the UK was like a dirty word. It was like, and you basically didn't want to work. It wasn't looked upon the way it is today. So I feel like then we were like, we discovered this best kept secret to how you actually could earn a living. And we were so excited to go out and share it with the world. And I think I just love looking back to the two of us then, when we were just starting out hatching little plans. And I just, with you, I just absolutely knew. I was just like, this one is going to soar and she's going to shine. And we both did together in our different ways. And it's just, it's a joy to still be working with you today. I'm pretty proud of us that we made it through.
The fact that we've made it through is pretty amazing.
That's a long-term partnership.
It's, yeah, definitely. Like whenever I talk about partnerships, and you know, one thing we can talk about on this podcast today is, you know, if you're someone who loves actually having other people around you, who's like, I don't want to do everything by myself, then, you know, there are so many opportunities to, in the way that Selena and I have worked together, despite never actually officially having a shared business, we've collaborated in so many different things. Oh. It's been one of the biggest joys and one of the reasons I believe that I've been able to do what I do well. And one reason I think in a lot of ways you have as well, because we have different energies and we work together. What? But that's definitely something I think we can talk about later. I'm actually curious, Selena, because normally people open up and ask me about my story. I'd actually love to hear your experience. What was it like for you? God, I'm turning the table.
This interview and turning it around on me. Yeah, go on then.
It's amazing. I can't believe you're not working with me. So I'm just going to take the mic now, take the seat and say, Selena, I'd love to, on behalf of your Project Love People, if you could let us know what was it like for you before you were the person doing things you're doing today? What was your experience like being in the 9-to-5 job world?
God, I didn't last long in it because I felt so trapped. I felt so frustrated. I felt my heart used to sink that this is what I was going to have to be doing for the next 40 years. Going into an office, having a boss, having my time not owned by me, but being owned and dictated by someone else. And I was fresh out of university, really, when I, you know, obviously when I went into an office job. And I was just like, this is what school was like. And I promised myself, get through school and you'll be free. I was like, this does not feel like freedom. And I, having been a very studious, good girl my entire life, I suddenly was just like, just decided to rebel. I was like, no, not having it. And actually, there was no one at my school, my university ever gave me other options than to go down that kind of well-trodden path into employment. But I knew because I'd read the odd article here and there and met the odd person, I knew there was another way to do it. I was just like, if other people can do it, can do stuff that they love, can do it on their own terms, are earning a living outside of an office, being their own boss, I'm going to go and find them and I'm going to find out how they did it and I'm going to do it for myself. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to help other people that want to have that different way of earning a living to do it too, without realizing at the time I was basically setting myself up to become a career change coach. Because of course, that's then exactly what I did and exactly what you and I have been doing together ever since. But I think back to how it felt, I just felt like it just, my whole soul, my whole spirit didn't fit into that structure. It felt suffocating. I felt like a caged animal. Even today, when I go into an office environment, I could feel on the inside myself like just twitching, just like I need to explode out of it. Now, not everyone has it to that extreme, but I think, thank God I did. And I think anyone who does feel like that, it is a sign that this doesn't suit you. This kind of structure doesn't suit you. It does suit some people and that's great, but it doesn't suit everyone. And I think what I want us to explore today is, what are the options if you feel the same way about being employed, about having a boss, about working a 9-to-5 office job? How's that?
That I actually went really quiet uncharacteristically because I could start to feel it again, you know, feel the, there's actually a song that if anyone's resonated this, you might like, it's by The Cat Empire, which is being an Aussie originally, is one of my favorite bands. And the song is Wild Animals. Have a listen. It's basically what Selena said in song form about how, you know, we're actually wild animals and we can feel caged. And there's some of us whose spirit is a really, really good way of putting that, Selena. That's not where we naturally live. Mm. And the reason, and I'll go back to my experience in the job in a second, but before I get to that, the reason when I started Free Range Humans, which was, you know, well after I quit my job, is actually I had another business before then, but, you know, I'd started that with this idea, not that, oh my God, you know, self-employment is the only way and everyone should be self-employed. I actually don't believe that necessarily is true. Mm. But I think that everyone benefits from thinking like an entrepreneur. So we get people in our courses who have never really learned how to think like an entrepreneur. And once they do, they realize their options open up so much because you don't have to ask someone for permission to change careers. You can hire yourself. You can get your experience. It might not tick the boxes on your CV that someone would hire you for as a job, but you can get individuals to pay you for it. You can set yourself up and you can get companies to pay you for it. You can build your own brand. You can collaborate with people. And so that entrepreneurial thinking can free you up. But the other thing I found is sometimes people go down this route and they're like, I think I want to escape the 9 to 5. And through this entrepreneurial thinking, they end up discovering, actually, I've ended up setting myself up doing something a little bit different to what I was doing. And I'm super happy to have a job in that. But I never would have got to that point if I hadn't freed myself from the shackles of linear career cage thinking in the first place. So that was why when I said free entrepreneurs, I was very much like, let's think in an entrepreneurial way. But the other reason I set it up was I, like you, Selena, had never been told this is a viable option for people like us. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized, especially at the time, and I think I should say even more now, that we are in right now, this year, we are at the best time in history to launch our own thing and make money on our terms. And the fact that isn't being taught to us is insane. I wanted to just put something out there that would just balance the scales a little bit more, you know, that would go, instead of people going, oh my God, this is this big risky thing. It's what the lucky people do. It's what the brave people do. Just to go, guys, if the world was rational, you'd have been told this stuff at school. And guess what? You weren't. So let's talk about it now. So that's my vibe around it. And the reason I came to that was, as Selena knows very well, I operate from this wonderful mix of occasional logic interspersed with a lot of feeling. And so, but when I was in a job, both of them came into play. So I'll start with the feeling. Mm. I didn't realize how caged I'd felt until after I left the job. And I looked back and I was like, I was a different person when I was in a job. I was someone who I was very good at playing the part, as in I would dress the way I was meant to dress. I would learn how to take on the right phrases. I would learn how to show up to the meetings and say the right things. And of course, my true self would bubble out at inappropriate intervals. But in general, you know, I was pretty good at being that, what we call that chameleon, who put on the clothes and the personality that people kind of expect of you, even though you've got little edges bubbling up, and just about play that. But I hadn't realized how much that was eating away at me. But the way it manifested for me is I'm a very sensitive body. So I got sick a lot. And I realized I probably had a lot of anxiety then, even though I didn't know what that was called either. I thought I was kind of okay, but I really wasn't okay. And I just felt every day, I think the world is helpless. I remember one day I was on the tube in London commuting in to work. And I was just like, I would have given anything for that tube to break down, because I just wanted to be outside. Like, I just didn't want to be in the office that day. I would work super late. I was really committed. I was really dedicated. But the fact it wasn't on my time frame was sapping at my soul. You know, it would be summer days and I was like, this makes no sense. If I work really, really hard and really late, why can't I just take 2 days off during the summer? It made nothing about it was logical. So I went from this place of feeling, of just all these feelings in there, to actually moving into logically thinking about it. And I was like, number one, this structure is not the only way to make money. It can't be, because I, like you, Selena, I'd heard of these people who were doing things differently, who had, you know, their own company or were doing, you know, being their own boss. And I was like, it's not the only way. And it's not even the most efficient way. I was like, I got more work done. I got better quality work done if I ever managed to convince my boss to let me go out to the local Starbucks and sit in there for 2 hours than I would for the rest of the day in the office. So I was like, this is broken. So as soon as I think something's not working, I want to fix it or change it or step out of it. And I was like, how much time are we wasting commuting? This is a ridiculous structure. You guys, I'm not happy, and it's also stupid. Like, that was my genuinely my thinking. So as soon as the logic came in and the feeling state was there, I was like, I have to move. I have to get out. And I won't go into the whole story about how it happened, because that would be the entire podcast conversation. Yeah. But genuinely, I really get what it feels like. If you are not that person who feels naturally at home, your whole self feels naturally at home in that environment, it is not okay for people to be telling you you don't have another option. And I get very angry when I hear that, because it's absolutely untrue. If you are that person for whom an office environment, or maybe it's just a job environment, even if you're working remotely, the job thing is requires you to leave a lot of yourself at the door in order to get paid, or to shroud yourself over, or make yourself small, or defer your real life for the weekends, the holidays, the retirement. Mm-hmm. It's not okay anymore in this day and age, we're in the best time in our history not to do it, to not be talking about this, which is why I am so excited to be having this conversation, Selena, today.
So how then, you're in the job, you're feeling stuck, how do you know whether a job is not for you?
I would say, so if we're asking, you know, am I someone who might be better off doing my own thing? I've got a few little things that I tend to look at. One of them is that feeling that you've talked about there, Selena, which is around, are you feeling smaller and smaller? Is walking into that space, or if you work remotely, heading onto that call, making you feel like you're expanding or like you're kind of shrinking in what you're doing? So that's the first thing, is the feeling of tightening inside of you. When you go into work, or is it something of like, wow, I'm feeling like it really, really like expansive and great in every way? So that's the first thing I'd ask. Secondly, I think a traditional job is probably not right if you're someone who's very sensitive. So I identify as an HSP, a highly sensitive person. Google it. It's a great, great term. And that's someone who's very sensitive to a lot of things, including environment and people. And the thing is, in a traditional job, you don't get to choose your environment or the people. So as a sensitive person, of course it doesn't work for you, because you are constantly thrust into things that are triggering you, that are making bits of you shut down, that are probably making you have reactions you don't even know that you're having inside, but they're having a huge impact. So are you someone who's quite sensitive to people and environment? That can be a good way of going, is a job not for me? That's not for everyone, by the way. Some people aren't that sensitive and a job still isn't for them, but it's one extra one to look at.
Yeah.
The third thing is about meaning. Do you feel like there's something else for you out there? Like, do you have a sense that this can't be all there is to life? If you're listening to this, I'm thinking you already are thinking that. And that is a really good indicator that at least stepping onto this journey and really exploring this seriously is going to have a huge knock-on effect in your life positively, either by actually taking you on that path out of that job, or by opening up the possibilities that you may take on in the job world anyway through that entrepreneurial thinking. So if you're looking for more meaning and you can't see how to get that in with your current CV or with the job market or whatever it might be, 100% that is the world sort of screaming at you, look at this from a different angle. Mm-hmm. And the final thing I would say, the traditional job isn't for you, is something I said before about when you feel like you can't bring your whole self to the table, when you have to leave bits of yourself at the door in order to make things work every day. And this is especially true for people who, in my TED talk, I call them liminal, people who aren't one obvious thing, who always feel like you're a little different to others around you, even though others might not see it. If you are that person, the opportunity to think entrepreneurial or be your own boss means that that thing, that tendency that you have always had to maybe always feel a bit different to the group that you're in, maybe always feel a bit different to the business or the industry that you're around and feel like I have to dull those edges. In becoming your own boss, you'll discover that those very things that you're trying to dull right now might be your greatest strengths. That the tendency to be someone who is a little different to others around you, even a little bit, will end up being an edge. That's something I help people with a lot. I will explain more on that in a moment. But if the things that you're currently trying to hide now don't quite feel like you fit now. If there was a place where all of you could thrive, would you explore that? If the answer is yes, I would definitely encourage you to at least start exploring this journey.
Exactly. I mean, I think that is the key word, is to explore.
Yes.
And to just, you know, start playing with and to allow yourself, give yourself permission to explore this as a possibility. And whatever that may be, to explore the possibility of you really doing something different. It could be something radically different. It could be starting your own business, doing something that you've only ever done as a hobby before. Or actually, like you're saying, it could be that by looking at your situation with that kind of, like an entrepreneur does, you might change things up. So actually you're still doing a very similar job to the one you're doing now, but you're doing it in a different way, so that you're actually now feeling free to do the other things you love to do in life. And I've definitely had clients who've done that, who've just, the shift has been, they've gone into freelance, or they now do, oh God, I can't remember what the name is when you do short-term pieces of work.
Contracting.
Contract work, thank you very much.
Yes.
And in between, they go and they fulfill their passion of, I don't know, creating artwork or doing yoga retreats for people in combination with that corporate job, but they now do it in...
There's so many ways to do it. This is the thing, isn't it? Like, this is why this thinking to me is so freeing. And, you know, as I said before, I know this is super uncool to say in these sort of like, change your life and, you know, start your own business circles, but I genuinely don't care what someone ends up doing. I really don't. I know people, we've had people, Selena, who've done our Ideas Adventure course. I think of one person in particular who went in, discovered she really wanted to do events. She didn't have an events background. Used the sort of tools that we were talking about on the course, ended up starting stuff around events, you know, really going in and making stuff happen and meeting people that, even though she just didn't even know where to start originally with it. And just at the point where I thought, okay, right, great, she's going to really get her own thing taking off. She messages me and she goes, guess what? I've just been offered my dream job in events. Like, I'm actually going to take it because I love the person. It's this tiny company. Doesn't feel like a job. I get to do everything I want to do. And so she went into a job, but like in quotation marks, if you could see me, I'd be doing like air quotation marks, because it felt completely different to anything she'd done. And she would never have considered that possible had she sat there with her CV and said, what can I do with my life? Now, a lot of people end up, you know, doing a course and launching their own business. But I think a reason I say this, and I think the reason we're having this conversation, Selena, is just to explain to people, why are we going on to talk about escaping the 9-to-5, then giving examples of people who end up in jobs, is I suspect that Project Love listeners are also people who hang out on, say, Facebook and Instagram. And if you are hanging out in those places, you're probably seeing a lot of stuff, like Selena said at the beginning, around, you know, quit your job and you're going to earn like a gazillion dollars in 2 minutes and sit on a beach with a laptop overnight. And, you know, if you don't do that, then your life is meaningless. There's those ads out there that are basically throwing that at you. And yet, you know, we were talking before we got on this about how this isn't our attitude at all. We just want people to feel really great about what they're doing, you know, whatever that ends up being. Mm-hmm. And exploring ideas through this particular path is one of the best ways to get there. And that's all it is. It's not about, you know, being glamorous and shiny. You know, most people who end up doing something that they love as their own boss, they don't even have brands online that you can see. They actually collaborate with other people. They might have something that be the best kept person in their industry that all the top people in the industry go to and you never hear of them. There are a billion ways of doing things. And if you get one thing from this podcast, that's what I want you to get, that even what you see online now, what your careers advisor told you, what you see in books, is the tip of the iceberg. And if you think that there isn't a possibility for you, it's just that you haven't been moving in those circles where those possibilities are talked about. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's about getting creative with your career and realizing you can create a career that really suits you. And I think the problem with a lot of these things out there, it's like, be your own boss, and, you know, and this is how you do it, is people who are making it formulaic. So it's actually one formula is be employed, have security, make success, you know, go up the ladder of success, whatever. It's now just being replaced by another formula of drink champagne and jet set around the world and have your own business. And it's like, it's not that either. Like, I think this need, and that's what your liminal TED talk is just so fantastic. Everyone needs to, if you haven't watched it already, watch it. But it talks about that, of like, that there isn't just one way of doing things. And this is the part that gets me so excited, is it's showing people to, it's about stopping looking for the formula and always looking for the certainty. And this is the one of the huge messages that I got, and a lot of people got from your amazing TED talk, is this, our need for certainty is actually when you let go of that and you allow yourself to kind of be more fluid and to actually create something that really works for you, rather than looking at, okay, so what are people doing out there? Right, which one shall I choose? I think that's again where people get stuck, because then they look at, oh, hold on, if having your own business looks like that, I don't want that either. And it's like, but having your own business and being your own boss, creating your own career, can look so many million different ways, that there isn't just like two options, employment or business that looks like this and then I'll be all on my own. There's like a million ways in between, and it's about finding the way that is right for you. And this is one of the things, actually, and this is something that we cover in the Ideas Adventure, but something that I've really learned from working with you, Marianne, is that, for example, in being a coach, you can have all these different coaches and their businesses can look completely different, and their experience of business can be completely different. So to think that there's just one way of having a coaching business is what so many of us fall into that trap. And there are a lot of people out there teaching, this is how to have a coaching business, this is how to have a successful online business, this is how to, you know, and it's more formulaic stuff. And it's just like, no. And I've seen people spend thousands of pounds being taught how to have the kind of business they think they want, only to then feel stuck, that they're now in yet another scenario where they feel trapped and they feel like they're having to be something that they're not, because they have yet again bought another formula. And it's about...
Correct. And I think it's not anyone's fault either. I mean, certainly not the people making the purchases' fault, put it that way.
No.
Because if you look at the way this stuff is worded, I actually think it's really unethically worded. Like, it's worded as, you want to quit your job? I'm going to show you the way to do it. And it's not the way to do it. What they should be saying is, I'm going to show you the way that worked for me to do it. And guess what? It might not fit you. Like, that's where. So when you see all this stuff online, I'm sure that, you know, you're listening in and you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. You've seen someone say, I quit my job. I made this amazing life happen with my laptop on the beach. And FYI, just a little insider tip on that, do not take your laptop to the beach. The sand screws it. Really not a great idea in life. Anyway, you know, if you see all this stuff, you know, there's some great tools out there. There's some great stuff being taught, and I don't want to knock that. But what I just want to say is, this isn't about, when you look into it, if you start thinking, oh, well, I tried something and it didn't really chime with me, or, but I don't want to be a version of that person, that does not mean you can't be your own boss. It means, hey, maybe your intuition's right. Maybe that person has a particular personality and a particular background that is actually different to you. And guess what? They do. So the joy, the way that, you know, we really focus on things in, you know, free range land now, is to not say there is one solution that is better than another. You know, the way I build things up is different to how Selena built things up, and my way isn't better than her way, and vice versa. You know, we have friends, some people you'll know the names of and some people you won't know the names of, and who have equally, you know, happy, great lives doing what they want to do, but they did it differently to us. And I think that what's really powerful, and I think the very first step, if you're sitting in a job or even in a business that isn't quite you, and you're like, but what do I do with this? Is to say, okay, before we dive into, oh my gosh, I've got to like pick something off the shelf and it has to suit me immediately, is to actually step back and just go for a second, hold up, how do I want to be showing up and what experience do I want to be having of life every day? It's not about a topic area. You know, this isn't about choosing a passion. I don't believe in passions at all. They're just topic areas, and you are bigger and better than a topic area that you're going to get bored of in 2 years' time, right? So the topic area that we talk about, that you might end up doing, like Selena has focused for years on career changes, doing stuff on relationships now. They're topic areas that let her play and let her do the things that she does best in those areas. And if she just picked those areas and didn't look at how she plays best to help people within them, she probably wouldn't be full-time self-employed right now. She would have ended up going down a rabbit hole or end up not even starting because she'd been like, oh, well, but that sounds boring, or that sounds doesn't sound like me, or that's like sounds like something I'll get sick of. And I'll go into more detail on that in a moment, but I just want to say, if you recognize yourself in those phrases, if you ever look at ideas and you're like, oh my God, you know, I'm so sick of that, or it's not totally me, or it's a bit boring, or do I have to be a louder version of myself to make it work, or whatever your phrase might be, the answer is no, you absolutely don't. But you do have to start from the point of actually ditching so much of what we're taught in school about there being one linear way to do things, and instead realize that the real own boss things that work, the lives that people love, the things that actually take off despite the competition and do so without killing yourself doing it, come from a point where you realize that you are the biggest asset in your business. You are the biggest asset in what you do. And if what you have, your idea that you come up with comes from a place of it looking good on paper, not actually from your own, like your own being, then that just won't work. And so to throw out ideas one linear right way and to start from who you are, what you really bring to the table beyond just your CV, and putting pieces together in a really unique way. So I'd say, just to round out this point, I'd say, you know, if you have looked at this stuff a little bit and you haven't found a solution, the way that we like to talk about it is not to look for a solution, but to hand create your own tailored solution. There's a reason jobs don't work for you, because you are not someone that fits into any mold. You can do your best, you can contort yourself, but ultimately you'll be like leaving little bits of you out of it. And the only solution is to do go back to what Selena said and get really creative and create it. And that is what own bossing allows you to do. And you know what, Selena, that's why I'm passionate about it. It's not to do with all the other stuff. It's that you get to be creative with your own life.
And it gives you the freedom to evolve, and it gives you the freedom for different sides of you to come out. Because I mean, if I look at the way that I have created my career and my business, it's been project after project. And really beyond that, if 10 years ago, I wasn't saying one day I want to be going out there and talking to the world about love and self-love, and my God, I would never have thought I would have a business that had anything to do with relationships, because that was an area of my life I was just such a disaster in. So it was like, do you know what I mean? So it wasn't that I was mapping out. I could never have mapped out the career and businesses that I've had since that point. And I think it's always been a state of what I've always held on to, what makes me come alive. And if something is no longer making me come alive, and also the need for money, don't get me wrong, because coaching really made me come alive. But what wasn't my thing was being like the star of my own show. That didn't work for me. What worked for me was teaming up with people, collaborating with people like yourself that had the audience, that was a kind of magnet to lots of people, and collaborating with you. That's how I lasted so long in being a coach, not the one-to-one clients, which I also had, which I loved, but was actually teaming up with other people. And then also now, I'm not taking on one-to-one clients. I'm doing my career coaching with courses like that I'm doing with you. What I'm focusing on now is growing Project Love, is designing and writing courses. And so another side of me is coming out, that kind of creative, more of the artist, the getting into marketing, which I used to avoid at all costs, which is why I then collaborated with other people, so I didn't have to do the marketing. Now I'm realizing, again, thanks to Marianne, finally learning that marketing actually can be fun. It can be, for me, it's about celebration. It's about sharing people's stories. I'm really into that. So even the role within my career and my businesses, that has evolved and changed.
Yes.
And so it's not even about going, the topic's changing, even my role changes. I am the classic, jack of all trades? And I always that, but I've made that really work. And it's like, I still to this day, find it difficult to say, when people say, so what do you do? I'm like, shit. I just say, I'm a career change coach. That's actually not what I do anymore. But I'm like, yeah. People like to have a solid, easy to understand answer. And then I say,
I know, I was asked that today and I was like, dude, even my dad doesn't know what I do. Yeah. I'll say something like, I'm a writer, or I run an online business, or I'm a speaker. I'll pick something of the day. And the reality is, and this is the funny thing, you know, we look, people who are really doing something, you know, this is it's a full-time thing. They love it. We don't really think of ourselves mostly as having a label, but we have to present one to the world.
Yeah.
And so I've never quite thought of it like this before, but just listening to you, Selena, actually, it's really ironic. I think that's why it's actually really hard sometimes to find your direction, because you're looking for a label. But the truth is, there actually isn't one. Yeah. So we're looking for the thing that doesn't really exist. And so that's the other reason. You know, if someone goes to me, I want to be a writer, I'm like, well, okay, I've been a writer the first 5 years of Free Range Humans. As you know, Selena, I wrote several thousand words to my whole email list, which I hand grew from running workshops in person in London, you know, starting with like two people, and then it got to like 20,000 people. I sent an email to them, several thousand words every week for 5 years. So I was a writer. My book deal came out of publishers being on that email list and loving it. So I got a book deal from it. Every course I ever sold for those 5 years was because of that email list. So you could say that I was being paid to be a writer. I had a full-time thriving business that only paid me because I wrote words and I had to write them well, or I didn't have a business, right? But if I'd said, I want to be a writer, how much do writers get paid to write for a magazine? Oh, screw that. That looks horrendous. I wouldn't have quit my job. And I think that's the difference. We have to move on from looking for a label, yeah, and instead create our own. So you say, you know what? I really want to be writing, but actually I also want to be helping people feel this, or I want to be doing that. And to pick a couple of things that we want and to put them together into something, because that's the reality of what any business is. Like, even someone who is, I don't know, let's imagine there's a successful artist out there. You might think, oh, they're an artist, but it turns out they're actually an artist. They're also amazing at, let's just say, connecting with the right people. Let's just say they're an extrovert. Introverts, there are other ways, but you know, they're an extrovert who's also great at connecting with the right people. They're really creative about different ways to get people excited about things. And they've put that together and that allows them to sell their art. But people just call them an artist, right? So the label doesn't capture the reality. And so, you know, you might be an introvert listening to this going, oh my gosh, you know, we just have two extroverts talking about stuff. You know, I don't quite fit that. But actually there's a lot of introverts who do really well in what they do, but they don't do it by going, I want to become, say, a coach. Let me look at how the brash, loud coaches online are doing things and be a version of them. That's the pathway to saying, like, I don't want to do that.
No, you're not talking about
exactly. It's more... not you. Oh my God, not you. Or the wonderful extroverted coaches. You know what I mean? Like for an introvert, it would be a different path. It would be more about like maybe a slow burn of trust that you're actually proving yourself by working with people. Maybe you'll be collaborating with people who are natural attractors like me. You know, attraction. If I'm being honest, what I do is I attract. That's kind of what I do. I attract people to ideas they haven't come across. I reword them in ways that suddenly they can use in their life. I attract people to the best, you know, courses out there. I attract people to the lives they want to have. I'm actually an attractor. But if you ask me, what do? I don't say I'm an attractor. And so this is the stuff. This is the reason we're sort of showing this. To me, this is the deeper thinking. No one ever told me. No one told me any of this. Mm-hmm. And I think of how much more quickly and clearly I could have found my direction if someone had said, hold up, all those lists you're making of things you want to do, but then they're ultimately impractical and they don't cover the whole of you anyway. So you ditch them and you end up Googling late at night and getting stuck. That way is going to end with you doing that forever.
Yeah.
Look at things in another light. That would have saved me years of heartache in multiple jobs that weren't for me. And so, yeah, I'm hoping to reach a a version of me out there in a way, or a, no matter how different your personality, that has felt that way, has felt stuck, has felt helpless. And just to, you know, if you walk out of listening to this and be like, I can feel that there are different possibilities. And even though I don't know what they are, that my solution isn't to make a list of different things I've seen people do and try to go, how well do I fit them? But to use that as a starting point for getting creative and to look at ideas in a whole new light. Yeah. I mean, that is a life-changing idea, to know that it's not about finding something, it's about creating something.
Absolutely. And it's about experimenting and trying things out, and let's get started. Because yes. I think, you know, because otherwise it's like, oh, and you're trying to figure it all out in your head and testing out in your head, and will this work, and looking at where, but would this would be this, and then I'd have to do that, and then I don't know about this. It's like, you hang on, that's not the real world in your head. That's not the real world. So let's take this idea that you've got, this rough idea you think you might like to do, and let's try it out in a small way. So that if in a month's time you go, as I've done before, if anyone's seen my story about me in my jewelry business, which lasted 6 weeks, I thought I wanted to be a jewelry designer many years ago. And then I was like, shit, this is boring. I don't want to do this at all. 6 weeks later, I had started and I'd finished a jewelry business. And it was it was such a powerful lesson, because it showed me that I'd tested out an idea. I didn't actually want to do it in reality. And that was fine, because it only took 6 weeks. And what I learned in the process was actually, God, I could take loads of different ideas and try these out. And then by trying them out, I will find the one that really suits me, which is exactly how I started coaching. I tried a few people out. The first one, I was like, I don't want to do this. The second one, I was like, I think I found the work I was born to do. It doesn't mean that I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing one-to-one coaching. No. I love being a coach. I love doing that work, but now I love doing within online coaching and bigger groups. And I like pouring those journeys into online courses at the moment. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, who knows what I'll be doing? But the key is that it's going, what do I feel like doing now? What's making me excited? What will make me come alive? Right. How can I turn that into something that people will pay me for? Let's explore that.
You know, that's it. I'd say that, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, I'm someone, you know, Selena somehow puts up with me, but, you know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, a little control freak, and have high anxiety. So, you know, if you're ever thinking these people are chilled out, I'm not like that. Trust me, I'm very anxious. am I being fair, Selena?
You are being fair, and I love you very much, but this is true.
Let me word what Selena said for people who might have control freak issues, not saying that I do, but probably I do. So this to me is another way, like when I first heard people going, oh, you know, experiment and do this and that, and I was like, holy shit, I'm not doing that because that's going to get it wrong and I'm going to waste my time. And a few things, my thinking now is quite different. So I realize there's a few things about the whole own bossing thing that feel like they're going to require us to give up control. But actually, I think that what I've realized over the years is that it's the difference between having fake control and real control. So for example, if you have the idea of, well, you know, going into something, especially something that, you know, I've experimented with, but is risky, I would say that, you know, the way we talk about business is not about investing loads of money in, you know, it's about starting something with what you have, not putting your house on the line. So if you're starting from that place, the reality is that the job market is riskier in pretty much every way, because the skill that you learn in becoming your own boss in a sustainable way is twofold. One of them is what Selena was talking about there. What do I actually have to offer to the world that I actually want to do? What brings me alive? What are the things? It's not just one thing that I can do. And you learn, the second thing is you learn how to get paid no matter what. You know, if the entire online world shut down today, I know I could start an offline business doing something else, because I've learned how to do that through the work I've been doing, through that practice. So you don't just, I think something people don't talk about, you don't just learn how to pick one idea and make it work. As you do it, you actually create lifelong income security because you then get how to make income on your terms. You then get how to do so many more things. So I think one of them is you get that control. But in terms of the idea of, you know, oh, but you know, I've got to pick the right idea. I used to be very firm on that for myself. I remember being in a job and going, I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to waste my time sinking it into something that's going to be a waste of time. It's not going to be the right thing, where I'm going to end up in the wrong place. And now I realize that desire to control an idea so tightly was actually killing off the very best ideas, to the point that I got to a point where I didn't think I had any good ideas because I killed them off for not being good enough. And I learned over time that actually an idea is something that you have to learn how to deal with it. You actually have to learn what to do with it. This isn't about finding one right idea that you must love until you are 75 years old. It's actually about finding the right direction, the right path that underlies the idea you end up running with. And that direction, that path, is the thing that will hold throughout what you do. So Selena's talked about, you know, she brings people to life, right? And I bet you, Selena, that no matter what you did, you're doing that with Project Love. You're bringing people to get really create stuff, create relationships from who they are. You're bringing them to life to themselves first. If you launched, I don't know, a line of t-shirts, I bet you that people would look at those and they would feel alive, because that's what you, that's what I think you do, but that's what kind of what you do, right? That's the underlying Selena-ness that she brings to everything. And if she knows that, she can go and do anything. She can build this one thing, meet, you know, her friend Vicky, and end up moving into relationships, because she now knows, oh, I know how to build a business and I know what my thing is. I'll bring that to relationships. I'll bring that to the next thing. And so I guess what I would just to summarize that is that it's a very different feel. Yes, we're looking for an idea for you at this stage, but actually you're not just looking for a perfect idea. You're looking for an idea that's really great, and you're looking for your own direction within it. And even if in 2 years' time you end up evolving in your own life, you'll be able to take all those learnings and that core direction and move on. Whereas when people talk about finding a smart idea, that isn't that the missing piece, right? People just talk about finding an idea that sounds good on paper, and you end up looking at all these sort of income opportunities and none of them hit because they've left you out of the picture. So ultimately they don't work, and ultimately you end up not moving forward. So yeah, really starting from you, I think, is such a big difference that we're, again, something we're not taught about in the career cage world.
And I think the key for me is now I have a way, and I have a simple but powerful process of, first, when I'm in that space of like, it's time for something new or it's time for change, first actually coming up with some new ideas, and then what to do with those ideas to then try them out and then to grow them once I'm like, this is what I want to go after. Because it's recognizing that actually we're not just going to come to this crossroads once. We're going to keep coming back to these moments where we're like, and you and I both had this in the sort of years that we've been friends and been collaborators, of going, I think it's time for something new. I think it's time for a change. And we've had to go back into that process. So it's actually being given a way of approaching this that you can then use over and over again. And that's what gives me that sense of safety and stability, is knowing I've got that to fall back on. I know now how to deal with those moments of going, this isn't working for me anymore. I need,
you know, it's funny, like going back to what I was saying there, you said it even better just then, you know, it's that idea of fake security, right? You know, it's not just about, is it, the income side's a big thing. Like, I genuinely would feel less stable if I was in a job because it could be taken away or whatever. But also it's actually about the security of future you, right? Like future you, I don't even know who future me is going to be in a year. I have no idea. I haven't met her yet. No idea what she's going to be doing. But I know that even if for some reason, whatever I'm doing now doesn't really chime with her because of whatever life circumstance or something, it's not going to be a case of feeling helpless for several years.
Marianne, we could literally talk about this for days and days. So avoid this becoming literally the world's longest podcast.
Oops.
I love it. I have to stop us, because otherwise it literally will be the world's longest podcast. Are there any final pieces of advice you want to give to people listening who are kind of at the beginning, or not even beginning this journey, of to encourage them to explore this?
Yes, I would say one thing. I would say, don't take advice from people who don't have a life or the outcomes that you want. That is a piece of advice I was given many years ago, and it changed my life without a joke. It's a very simple idea. No matter how much you love someone, no matter how much you respect them, if you look at the thing they're giving you advice about and thing they're telling you maybe is not possible, and you're like, do I want the version of that they have? Do I really want any of that? And if the answer is no, so, you know, if you're getting someone who is like not happy in their job, or who is a very different personality from you, and who is trying to make you more like them in loving the sort of job that they think you should have, don't take advice from them on it. Because what that will happen is that you will get exactly what they got. That's what that advice does. It's telling you the path and the thinking to get what they've got. So be very careful about who you take your advice from. You can love someone, you can respect someone in every area of their life, but if the area of their life that they're talking about is not one where you're like, I want that for myself, I want that feeling, or even, you know, you realize I'm really different to them in every way and I really don't want anything what they've got, then don't take their advice, because it's a map to getting there. So be very careful about that. And who, I think it's very much about who we listen to. If right now, it's the second thing I say, you are not surrounded by people who, like, I'll say this another way. When I was in a job, I did not know people who were self-employed. I knew one friend who was an author, and I was like a magical being who I didn't really understand how they did that. I think you knew one friend who was a consultant. I didn't know people who I was very close to, who were self-employed.
No.
Right. My social circle was not those people at all. There were a lot of civil servants in it. So I was like very, very different. yeah, pretty much. Hilarious. Anyway, I look back and I'm like, I didn't know people. So it seemed like a crazy thing to do. Today, some of my closest friends are in jobs, and I love them to bits, and they're there by choice, which is good for them. But most people I hang out with, guess what? They're the opposite. They are doing their own thing in a myriad of different ways. And so today, when people go, oh, isn't it dangerous to be self-employed? I look at them and I'm like, it's so far out of my reality, because my reality is surrounded by people who are making things work through thick and thin, through having kids, you know, like you did, Selena, you know, like through changing their life, through the divorces, through the hard times, and they're doing it, guess what, while being self-employed, and their life is happening, everything is coming together, and they just happen to be their own boss, and those are my people now. And so now it's become normal. Now it's not weird. Now I literally don't even know what to say when someone says, isn't that unusual? I'm like, not in my world anymore. So if that isn't your world, then just to think of all the possibilities that you might just not be aware of, you know, because you're a smart person, like you're super capable. I'm going to guess Project Love people kind of seem like that. You know, you've kind of got a lot of your shit together. But if your influences don't come from that perspective, the voices you're hearing in your head every day, they're speaking from what they know. And if that what they know isn't what you want, make it your business to change up those influences, not to ditch people, but to like add other people in, to read the books, to be listening to podcasts like this, to be doing what it takes to get those influences in, because you will see other possibilities. And if you don't believe that, just consider this. Consider the life that you currently have. There are people in the world who don't believe that life is possible. There are people who think that having the sort of job that you have is just too big, it's too unrealistic. Why do they believe that? Because they're surrounded by influences that tell them that, right? So the same is true for you. Exactly what you are thinking, is that possible for me? There are so many of us out there who are like, who can see it with fresh eyes. So do what you can to borrow our eyes. And that isn't like, you know, engaging in pie in the sky thinking, it's actually just seeing things with more experienced lenses, and a lot more can open up through that.
Yeah, exactly. And it brings us right back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, is when I was in that space myself, I just went, in my world is earning a living the way that I want to, which is out of an office, being my own boss. But I know that there are people out there. So rather than listening to the people in my world at the time who were like, are you crazy? Do you know how many businesses fail? Like, unfortunately, work is just hard and not everyone enjoys it. And we just have to all suck it up and be in it together. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So I went off and I found those people. People are doing amazing, crazy stuff. And I hung out with them and I worked for them for free to just kind of experience it, whether it was selling burritos on a market or doing events around the world or teaching Spanish. I just got into it. And it was in doing that, I suddenly realized that this world was very much possible and was real and in existence. And I could be a part of it. And that, you know, and it's just like, yeah, put yourself amongst those people, which is why leads us on beautifully to talk about, just as we finish, the ideas adventure.
Yay. Which,
of course, we're finally running again after 2 years. We do often only run it every 2 years, and we never know for sure if we're ever going to run it again. But I think we've done it.
Because who knows what future us is doing?
Exactly.
We don't know.
Honestly, I mean, but really, but I love this journey so much that we take people on, because I feel it's so real, and I feel it really equips people with the tools that they really need to then go forward and keep evolving and growing through this journey. And we don't give them like this formula of, we'll show you in 6 weeks how to make a six-figure salary and, like, you know, be a success overnight. We're realistic. And we cater for the people who want to be free and who want to just take off. But we also cater to the people who are like, I want some control in this. I don't want to just quit my job and be free. That doesn't work for me at all. And so, and also the other element of it, it has that community. We're really in it. But it also, the community is always, and anyone who's done any Project Love course will have experienced the same. There is something when people who are in the same boat come together and go on a journey together, and most of them are complete strangers and many live in all parts of the world, the camaraderie and the comfort that comes from that, and going, oh my God, I'm not alone. And these people are great and they're in this scenario too. Okay, I already feel better. And now there's a journey that I can go on and I don't have to be figuring out myself. Because
it's such a big difference, you know, because the ideas adventure uniquely, you know, there's so many business courses out there. This isn't one of them. This is actually literally going before you get all into like, oh, but how do I make something work? Which we do provide resources on. We provide a lot of stuff on the how-to stuff. But actually the focus of it is, what on earth am I going to do that will actually bring me alive and actually bring in money? And that is the heart of what we talk about. And we really go through a different process with it. And as you say, Selena, I think that the community is something that's really core, because what I love about the adventure is most people in there don't know each other. There's obviously a couple who do, from, you know, if they've come from another course or might have two friends coming on it. But in general, you're in a group of people who don't have any preconceptions of you. And it's amazing what people see about each other that you don't even see, because you're so used to playing a certain role in your social group, in your family, in your job. And people will see you with other eyes and say, you think you're what? No, oh my God, look at how we see you. Look at how you come across. And people can just shoot forward like that. I think that's a big part of it.
I hadn't thought of it like that before, actually, that you get to turn up and be you, because there's no back history. People have no story about who you are or who you were. You can turn up, you've been a lawyer all your life. Everyone knows you as a lawyer. And you turn up in this community and people are like, so, oh, you just have a name. That's it. And even if you say, oh, well, I'm a lawyer, but what they're actually responding to is who you're being in your messaging and what you're sharing. It's like you get to turn up and be you and start from that point. And that is the point where you need to start. Oh my God.
I love it. It's a really good course. And I just say that finally, we won't go on about this because we want to keep the focus on the podcast, but I just want to say one thing. You know, I created this ideas adventure and then Selena made it like 10 times more awesome quite a few years ago. We've run this like 4 or 5 times. It is the only live course I ever run anymore. I actually pulled all my courses down the other year. Long story reasons. I decided to really focus on just the very, very best things. This is that thing that, you know, I will tell you, a few years ago, I really looked at what I had out there and I was like, I want to be able to say to my best friend when they are stuck or whatever, that whatever product I am offering is the one they should do. It's the best one. The Ideas Adventure was the only live course I ran that made that cut, that I would literally tell my friends, you need to hop on it. And the reason is, it's number one, is not us putting you into a box. It is not us saying, here's a prepackaged formula. Here's how you have to show up in order to get the stamp of approval to be your own boss. Instead, it says, here are the realistic ways that people do it. Here are the real ways that people do it. Number two, it doesn't come from the idea of, oh, here's a perfect sounding, beautiful formula for finding your idea. A lot of courses will try to sell you that. And I have been in those, I have looked at those. And the problem is that, and this is the heart of the Ideas Adventure, we realize that the reason that people get stuck, especially we overthinker perfectionist types, the reason we get stuck in finding our ideas is that our preconceived notions of how the journey should look are actually the problem. So if we go off and buy a course that's like, oh, it ticks like all these 20 steps I think I should have and it looks like, no, we're buying into the problem we had in the first place. So the Ideas Adventure, what's on the inside, a tiny bit, we keep it a little bit under wraps until people get on there and they tend to thank us for that afterwards, because the truth is of what's in there, what ends up coming to life with you are the very things that you probably wouldn't do by yourself, because they're very different from the linear path to finding direction that we're told about in all those myths, in all those magazine articles that sound really good, but that don't get you anywhere. And so that's why I love the Ideas Adventure, because it's actually based on us going back and going, hold on, people are saying to find your ideas in this way, but I didn't do that. Celine didn't do that. No one we know did that. So let's look at how people actually did it. And let's give you that. And that's why it's an honest process. So, I mean, if you love the sound of that, you're a curious person, please just go to theideasadventure.com. So theideasadventure.com, and put your name down to hear about it. And we'll be sending you more information on it. Is there anything you want to say, Celina, around that?
No, just I'm really excited.
Cool. I am too. I'm excited that we got to talk about this. It's a topic that's like, I know how, I guess it goes back to the beginning, you know, how we talked about how lost we can feel, especially, and I think something we didn't say is, for so many of us, and I think myself included, I've always been someone who's good at figuring stuff out in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at, if someone else comes to me with a problem, I bet you can help them, because that's how I feel. I can help other people. And I was good at sort of sorting stuff out in my own life. And what was killing me about this when I was stuck on this question is I was beating myself up going, this isn't rocket science. Why can't I work this out? I can work out way more complex problems every day in my work. This is just, what do I do with my life? Why can't I figure this out? And I guess if I say one more thing, it would be, if you are that person who is used to figuring stuff out and this is the thing you're not figuring out, you're just hitting a wall and you're frustrated, please put your name down for the Ideas Adventure, because that is what we speak to. There's a reason for that. I think you'll get a hint of some of those reasons in all the stuff we've talked about here. But there's so many other ways to bring this to life. This is a creative process. It isn't a process that should make you feel small in the doing of it. It isn't a process where you're Googling late at night and feel crap about yourself for doing it and hitting a wall again. If you're not feeling joy in the process, you're doing the wrong process. And I hope this podcast has helped to open that door to you in some way.
Oh, what a beautiful note to end on. Thank you, Marianne. Oh, what a joy. And I hope those of you listening, that we will see some of you on the Ideas Adventure. And no matter what, just go away and explore this possibility. And see where the exploration takes you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celina. And thank you for listening as well.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.